I'm very happy now to welcome Elaine Bearer. She is a scientist. She's a Harvey Family Professor of Pathology at the University of New Mexico. She's with the Systems Biology Center at UNM. She's a senior scientist at the Marine Biological Laboratory at Woods Hole in Massachusetts, a visiting professor at Caltech, and in addition to all that, she's a composer, an adjunct professor of music at Brown University. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Well, it's a pleasure to be here. Thank you for inviting me.
So we are here to talk, and unfortunately, we could talk about this for hours, and we have about 15 minutes, but there is an event coming up at Santa Fe Complex this weekend, Friday and Saturday, the 26th and 27th of March, called The Art and Science of Systems Biology. It's a huge event. This is a National Science Foundation-sponsored major event that's getting publicity all over the country.
That's true. We were really happy to see our announcement appear in Science Magazine on February 19th.
So what is actually happening? I mean, I think one of the things that's very tricky about talking about what scientists who are working at as high a level as you are do is that systems biology is difficult to understand. And in this exhibition and set of workshops and events and lectures, you are actually bringing the visuals of what you do to the public.
That's right. So this is a first-time event, so some of it's a bit experimental. And we're excited that we're being able to do this in Santa Fe to possibly recruit more artists into the arena of visualizing scientific concepts and scientific data.
So this is happening at Santa Fe Complex. What are some of the things you work on? I mean, you work as a professor of pathology, so you're looking at biology and where things go wrong when people get sick in the context of systems biology. What does that mean? What do you do?
What I think of as systems biology, and this is an evolving discipline that came out of the Human Genome Project mainly, and the idea that we have so much data that we can't wrap our heads around it. And in order to wrap our heads, our scientific heads, and now hopefully engaging the public in this and artists in this, we thought we could look at it. If we could somehow look at the data, we would understand it better. And we could understand many, many different pieces of data at one time, like a picture is worth 1,000 words. So the idea of systems biology was to be able to look at many interacting complex networks. To do that, we've used two interacting approaches. One is to collect massive amounts of data, and the other is to integrate it into some kind of conceptual framework. The visualization is one of those frameworks. Another way to do it is to do it mathematically. Unfortunately, most of us can't read the mathematics. On Friday night, Gary O'Dell is going to present fantastic visualizations derived from the mathematics that Victoria Foe fed him from her live imaging of embryos dividing.
So that's an example, because that's what I wanted to ask you, is what are some examples of actual events, biological events, that you are gathering data on and then visualizing?
So earlier in our conversation, you asked me about risk analysis. In this exhibit, we're not going to show any direct risk analysis, but it's a great analogy for what we're doing. If we're looking at risk, we want to take lots and lots of different types of risks and put them together so that we can weight each risk for its relative impact on an outcome like getting cancer or getting sick with something else.
Yeah, I was just for our listeners, I was asking Elaine before we went on the air if there is a way to study, for example, when somebody is at risk of getting an illness. We're all at risk of getting an illness, but how do you weigh, you know, obesity, sleeplessness, genetic factors, diet, the air that you breathe, exercise or lack thereof? There's so many variables that go into risks for getting sick.
So the idea of visualization of systems biology data is that we can put all those many different components into one structure that we can look at. So we're not there yet. This is the first ever time of putting art and science together and trying to explain systems biology both to ourselves and to the public. So some of the things we're going to show are more simple than that. That's a very complicated problem. We're going to have a video of an embryo developing that was captured by magnetic resonance imaging and then pseudo-colored so that we could watch the different tissues evolve.
An embryo of what?
It's actually a quail embryo imaged inside the egg, live.
Very cool.
We're also going to have immune cells traveling into a lymph node to receive their instruction within the lymph node of an invading pathogen or a microbe, a germ. So we're going to be able to watch these lymphocytes go into the lymph node and then go back out and watch them become instructed, which is a very, very complicated process. And we're beginning to be able to visualize it, image it, and study each of the molecules that contributes to that process.
Visualization is important not only for scientists to talk to the public, but for scientists to talk to each other.
That's exactly right. So one of the things that science has moved, well, I should say the biological and biomedical sciences have moved towards is PowerPoint presentations that we give to each other where we show the images, not of the raw data so much, as of the processed, analyzed data in a diagrammatic form so that we can talk about the many interacting things that are actually tested one at a time.
When you do that, when scientists have to present, whether it be PowerPoint presentations or the cover of Science magazine or pictures within scientific journals or whatever, as a way of communicating with one another, do you hire artists? Are there artists who are good scientists who are able to do that visualization? Because, I mean, when you think of art, you can't really bring any personal subjectivity into this, or can you?
Well, that's a huge question, and I love it that you asked me that. Yes, we do engage scientists. Scientists engage artists, and artists are beginning to invite scientists to collaborate with them and give them information about images. The quail video I was talking about was actually captured by scientists and then annotated by an artist, Seth Ruffins. So yes, we do try to collaborate together. It's sometimes difficult because art is a creative process, and just annotating a biological image doesn't feel to an artist as artistic or worthy of their creative endeavor. One of the things we're hoping to invite into our systems biology community are artists who can actually take their creativity and enhance what we do. So they're not just describing in a graphic image what the data is, but they're also giving their futuristic ideas.
Now, there will be an exhibition of art, of a certain kind of art, at this Santa Fe Complex event this coming weekend. Can you explain what people are going to be seeing?
So the National Science Foundation has been holding every year for about 5 years a contest for visualization of scientific data, or visualization. They call it the Visualization Challenge in Art and Science, and people can go on the website and hunt for that word Visualization Challenge and find the website from the National Science Foundation. This art from this year's contest will be presented publicly for the first time in Santa Fe next weekend. The winners were announced two or 3 weeks ago by AAAS, which is Science Magazine, which puts out Science Magazine and is the largest community of scientists in the country. So we are receiving, I think the art's being delivered today to the complex. National Science Foundation paid for creating the display and for sending the art to us. And the people who visit the complex next weekend will have a chance to see the winners. And they can read about the contest on the science website if they search for visualization, or check the Santa Fe Complex website and they'll get the link.
That's right. Yeah, I went to sfcomplex.org and it was right there. You can click on it. And one of the winning image from 2009 was this beautiful green globe that was sort of like a metaphor for the greening of the beautiful earth on which we live, and all these little strands coming out of it, which were like fingers of people working together. But it was an electron microscope photograph of microscopic polymers.
Yes. Yeah, so a lot of the visualization challenge work is what I was saying we're hoping to recruit more artists into, is where the scientific images are taken and exploited for their artistic component rather than their scientific conceptual element.
Now, you are both a scientist and an artist. You're a composer. How do you think of what you do musically and what you do scientifically? Are they totally different realms for you?
I guess that kind of goes back and forth. I've been doing this for many years, and I started writing music I wrote music with a pencil. I studied with Nadia Boulanger in Paris when I was in my teens. I went to Manhattan School of Music. My bachelor's is a music bachelor's, not even a bachelor's of art. It's a bachelor of music, very confined training. And I've just done it. It's like some people jog every day, some people drink coffee, which I also do. But and I write music for it. Just is, it's in my head all the time. So when I was in the lab and I'm pipetting a lot and I'm doing a lot of bench work, wet bench work, wet bench work. Yes.
Meaning what? You're
meaning grinding up cells and purifying their proteins and putting the proteins together and asking what do they do in the spectrophotometer, or, you know, just testing molecules. That requires a lot of standing at the bench and pipetting, and I'm listening to my internal radio and I'm writing a piece of music while I'm doing that. That was all fine. Then everything started going digital. So I started writing music on a computer, and I started writing papers on a computer, and I started imaging on a computer, and everything was a computer. So then I started writing programs to take the music I heard in my head from my head to script or to sound. And then MIT's lab came out with these wonderful Mark of the Unicorn products that were digitization of music, and I started doing that. And then now I'm at the computer all the time, and I'm not sure. So I started playing jazz a few years ago just so that I could get away from the computer and do something organic.
So back to the event coming up this weekend at Santa Fe Complex. Among other things, there's going to be a dome. Can you tell us about this?
Oh, the dome is really exciting. This is a project that came out of UNM. And Ed Angel, who's the chair of the board at the Santa Fe Complex, is a digital computer software person. He was chair of the computer sciences department at UNM, as I understand it, and he is bringing a portable dome with some of his students to,
like, a planetarium dome.
Yeah, that's it. It's so you can sit. People will be able to sit inside this dome and experience systems biology images driven by computers on high energy projector, so that it will be surround experience.
So this is an event coming up this weekend. It's open to everybody, including children. There will be kids events. You can find out more about that at sfcomplex.org. And we are so looking forward to it. Evening lectures on Friday and Saturday, things going on all day. You can look at the website for more information. And the number at Santa Fe Complex is 216-7562 in the area code 505. 216-7562 is Santa Fe Complex. And Elaine Bearer is professor of pathology at UNM. She works in the Systems Biology Center. She is a senior scientist at the Marine Biological Laboratory at Woods Hole, visiting professor at Caltech, so much else, music professor at Brown. And we will see you there this weekend.
Definitely.
And Elaine, you also have some music of your own in this program.
Yes, there's going to be two videos with music soundtracks that are going to be showed in a separate room. And one of them is a piece that I took from my laboratory imaging neuronal activity, and I wrote a piece of music that accompanies it that's part digital and part organic.
Very cool. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you.
You've been listening to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Mary Charlotte. We're streaming on the web at ksfr.org, podcasting at santafe.radiocafe.org. Thanks to Santa Fe's Dot Foil Computer Services. You can subscribe to the show on iTunes. You can find us at facebook.com/radiocafe. And my email address is radiocafe@ksfr.org. Stay tuned for the BBC, followed by local news by KSFR's award-winning news team. And after that, jazz. Broadcasting from the Santa Fe Baking Company, I'm Mary Charlotte. We'll see you tomorrow. Ciao.